Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 281, side 2. This is titled Los Amigos de Bush, and we're going to be continuing with the reading of a remarkable article from El Andar magazine's issue of the fall of 2000, volume 11, number 3. You can visit their website at www.elandar.com. The article, once again, is by Julie Reynolds, with research assistants from Victor Armazan and Anya Leonor Rojo. Now, we've been talking about a series of individuals, and these people have more connections than a switchboard to both Georges Bush, to former Mexican president Carlos Salinas Gortari, to the assassinations of prominent Mexican politicians, to drug cartels, to a couple of particularly gruesome murders in this country, to the Mexican energy business. And again, this Mexican energy business is going to be front and center in solving America's, quote, energy crisis, unquote. And also, this group is inextricably linked with the power connections that gave birth to NAFTA. We're going to continue with a reading of this very important article, and we're going to continue with an enumeration of the very complex array of names and relationships. Returning to the story of Los Amigos de Bush, we read of Roy Barrera Jr., one of the top narco attorneys in the United States, a close ally of both Georges Bush and a person who drove a mobile home across Texas in 1992 to stump for George Sr. He drove that mobile home with Barbara Bush. Of Roy Barrera Jr., we read, one of the youngest judges in Texas, Roy now fancies himself as Bush's right arm. He recently passed business cards around at a National Conference of Credit Union saying that he represented the governor's office, Last winter, Barrera braved the ice with W to knock on New Hampshire doors before the primary, and this summer he was one of the few Latino delegates at the Republican National Convention. Ernie Ancira was among the friends and fans at Roy Jr.'s 40th birthday bash at San Antonio's Macaroni Grill, reported in detail by the San Antonio Express News. The group took turns roasting each other. Handsome, charismatic Ernie almost stole the show from Roy. He was jokingly named the new wet dream of the Republican Party, Otto von Ancira, by Republican Judge Tom Rickhoff. Roy and Ernie, both good-looking, became hot young GOP legends. They were touted as part of the Republican comeback, said to embody the new Republican, young, wealthy, and Hispanic. But old ghosts have repeatedly blocked the course of Little Roy's political life. During Barrera's ill-fated 1986 Attorney General's race, Vice President Bush hailed him as an outstanding young Texan and said Barrera would stand up to the drug pushers in our schools and in our state, unquote. But the fact is, Roy has earned a slice of his income from the drug pushers' bosses, and he's done a decent job of keeping them out of prison, too. The Barreras, father and son, have a unique distinction. They are among Texas's best narco lawyers. And we're not talking about schoolyard pushers. Along with Corpus Christi attorney Tony Canales, the two Barreras represent the cream of criminals from Mexican cartels when they have the bad fortune to get dragged before U.S. courts. Among the choice clients the Barreras have defended are the Juarez cartel's U.S. coordinator Juan Chapa Garza, now serving 30 years for drug trafficking and money laundering, and Mario Alberto Salinas Treviño, a cocaine runner and alleged murderer whom the FBI also links to the 1985 murder of Drug Enforcement Administration DEA agent Enrique Camarena. But there is one Barrera client who stands out as the most fantastic and treacherous of all the consiliero of the Gulf cartel, Enrique Fuentes León. Fuentes León, the cartel's lawyer, arrived in San Antonio in 1991, a time when, financially and politically, the Ancira's were on top of the world. They were building their empire in Mexico under Salinas and in Texas under the Bushes. Enrique Fuentes León joined the Ancira and Gus Garcia Troika, replacing the now exiled Avila. By the way, he was exiled because of drug money laundering, as we saw on side one. Continuing. It was during this time that Ernesto and his cousins began to invest in luxury real estate, and the others, the Mexican industrial elite, joined him. Ernesto got in on the new gated golf course development north of San Antonio, the Dominion, where Guillermo Avila once sat on the board and Ernie still sits. Behind the imposing stone arch, the Ancira family's neighbors are a who's who of Mexico's corporate and government power structure. The Zambrano Trevinos of the giant cement firm Cemex bought property there, as did the head of Mexico's Hotel-Motel Association and half a dozen other big shots. Many of them paid cash. Even the new president of Mexico's brother, Rodolfo Zedillo, bought his Dominion house for cash in October of 1994, right around the time he started an $8 million business deal funded by the Juarez cartel. But by far the biggest piece of acreage in Dominion was bought by Enrique Fuentes León, a fugitive sought in Mexico for bribing judges on behalf of a rich Acapulco playboy who raped, tortured, and killed a six-year-old girl. Fuentes León fled to Chile and then Argentina. Then he arrived in Texas with a visa that said he was an investor. Invest he did. Fuentes León bought some 100-plus acres in Dominion in the early 90s, and he soon acquired over $6 million in San Antonio real estate. The DEA reportedly grew interested in him when he represented Gulf Capo Juan Garcia Abrego in a Matamoros trial. Though he was still wanted in Mexico, Fuentes León somehow traveled in and out of the country often using brand-new Mexican passports. A law enforcement investigator in charge of Fuentes León's arrest told me that Ancira sometimes flew Fuentes León in his private plane, but Ancira says he never met him. The investing continued. In 1993, Fuentes León and a group of investors attempted to purchase the San Antonio Light newspaper, but the Hearst Corporation, or perhaps the Justice Department, which usually looks into major newspaper sales, never accepted the offers. Fuentes León did buy a popular disco, Planeta Mexico, owned by Ancira's friend in the energy sector, Rogelio Gasca Jr. A new partner, Manuel Pacheco, came in on the deal but was later arrested and given a 15-year sentence for money laundering. With his visa about to expire, Fuentes León made fruitless pleas to America's high and mighty, including George W. Bush, who called his father the president on Fuentes León's behalf. And again, this is the fellow who was convicted of bribing judges on behalf of an Acapulco playboy who raped, tortured, and killed a six-year-old girl. Perhaps that's what Bush means by family values and compassionate conservatism. Continuing, Fuentes León was finally arrested, and attempted bribery and drug money laundering charges were ready to be filed against him, too. The Barreras took the case, and again, Roy Barrera Jr. is the fellow who drove the mobile home across Texas with Barbara Bush in 92. Continuing, at the hearing, a remarkable tape was played, recorded while Fuentes León arranged to bribe an undercover INS agent. The tape was made in the summer of 1994, a few months after the assassination of presidential candidate Luis Donaldo Colosio. Fuentes León bragged that his son Enrique was also a lawyer, was, quote, one of Zedillo's people, unquote. In a moment of bravado, Fuentes León told the INS agent, I know how they killed Colosio, unquote. And he said something even more chilling, quote, in the end, in August, there are going to be deaths and all that, S blank blank blank, eh? There are going to be more deaths, unquote. And so it was. José Francisco Ruiz Maceo, the Guerrero governor who had wanted Fuentes León to face charges in Mexico, was assassinated soon after. El Financiero columnist Jorge Fernandez reported that Ruiz Maceo was scheduled to be killed in August, but because of a problem with one of the would-be hitmen, the event actually took place in September. Raúl Salinas, the president's brother, was eventually convicted for authoring the murder. Immigration and Naturalization Service agents insisted that another man wanted for orchestrating the assassination's logistics was with Fuentes León moments before his arrest in San Antonio. The man, Manuel Muñoz Roca, simply walked away because at the time the agents didn't know he was a fugitive with a $1 million price on his head. The INS official in charge of the arrest, Gary Rennick, says that all three agents who were present separately identified Muñoz Roca from photos. Now retired, Renick still says he is convinced that Muñoz Roca was present at Fuentes León's arrest. An employee of Fuentes León then testified she overheard her boss talking with a man she was sure was Ernesto Ancira's friend, Gustavo Garcia, just a few days after the murder occurred. The employee said that she believes she heard the men talk about the murder and she is sure that they said they needed to send more money to Muñoz, unquote. The DEA has reportedly found that a top drug enforcement officer on the Gulf Cartel payroll met with Fuentes León and Muñoz Roca in a city in the United States, unquote, a few weeks before the killing. And an FBI report noted that one witness told agents that Fuentes León has a lot of information about Ruiz Maceo, unquote. Manuel Muñoz Roca disappeared at the very moment of Fuentes León's arrest, but was never officially seen again. But one curious footnote to his San Antonio stay lingers. Muñoz Roca's visa, which he used to enter and leave the U.S. a few weeks before and after Ruiz Maceo's assassination, listed a conspicuous address. The Dominion, San Antonio. With the third member of Ancira's San Antonio Troika, developer Gustavo Garcia, the Grupo Tejano became a multinational operation. Garcia has been under investigation by the DEA for cocaine trafficking in Florida and Venezuela, and by local police for money laundering in San Antonio. He has not been charged. He's head of the Brita water purification franchise in Mexico, and he owns around $100 million worth of San Antonio real estate, along with his partner, Lebanese-Mexican businessman Anwar Name, N-A-M-E, pronounced Name. The only visible sign of Name's presence in San Antonio is the gleaming office tower he and Gus Garcia own together. The Mercantile Building is an impressive, mirrored ribbon of a building, and Garcia wanted to buy it for several years but couldn't come up with the money. Then, after a lengthy trip to Mexico, he returned victorious, representing Anwar Name, a multi-million-dollar financier of the Salinas campaign. Name, too, had blemishes on his reputation, but they weren't well-known. Newspapers reported that Name co-owned a Tijuana disco together with a member of the Caro Quintero drug cartel of Sonora. Name is also an associate of Egyptian arms dealer Adnan Khashoggi, a friend dealer of Raul Salinas, and a partner of PRI kingmaker Carlos Hank Gonzalez, whose family has been investigated in the U.S., Costa Rica, and Mexico for links to drug cartels, murder, and money laundering. And again, Khashoggi, of course, deeply involved in the Iran-Contra affair. Continuing. Garcia bought the Mercantile Building for Anwar Name in February of 1992 for $5 million in cash. Quote, "I have some major tenants looking at it," Garcia told reporters. Soon after, Name's friends, the Hank family, moved in, leasing the entire ground floor for Carlos Hank Jr.'s Laredo National Bank. There, too, Ernesto Ancira installed campaign headquarters for his 1992 run for Texas State Senator. Anwar Name's circle also includes Joseph Audi, A-U-D-I, of the Lebanese bank Audi, a private personal bank, unquote, with branches in Beirut, Geneva, Paris, Luxembourg, and New York that has been involved in a multi-million-dollar arms-running and money-laundering scandal. The bank was not charged, but a $6 million account was frozen, and one of its depositors was charged with arms-running and money laundering. In late 1993 and early 1994, Name and Garcia refinanced their building several times over for $1 to $5 million each time, a large part of which came from none other than Name's friendly neighborhood banker, Bank Audi. But Bank Audi has a more auspicious claim to fame. Its Geneva branch was the issuing bank of a $599,985 payment that made its way through several banks until it landed in an account belonging to Manuel Muñoz Roca and a hitman convicted in the assault that killed José Francisco Ruiz Maceo. Investigators have never determined who owned that original account in Bank Audi. Ernie and Roy Barrera campaigned for President Bush in 1992, that's Ernie Ansara, And they celebrated what looked like an easy re-election with George W. at a Super Tuesday rally for the Texas primary. Ansira also thought he was a shoo-in in his run for the state senate, especially when both Bushes came out to campaign for him. George W. optimistically greeted Ernie as Mr. Senator, unquote, well before the election took place. But Ernesto and President Bush lost on the same depressing day in November of 1992. Ansira lost the state senate and Bush the presidency of the United States. 1994 was a turbulent year for the Grupo Tejano. Things happened quickly and so dramatically that the scene was brutal and intoxicating. NAFTA, the jewel in the crown of all involved from Salinas to the Bushes to Mossbacher to the Ansiras, became reality on January 1st. The same day, Zapatista rebels declared war on the Mexican government, followed by bloody massacres and international outcry. By fall, Mexico had suffered the assassinations of Colosio and Ruiz Maceo. Ernesto Zedillo, a Yale man just like the Bushes, was elected president. Then the peso collapsed. Lucky for them, most of Mexico's wealthy class had already put their money into dollar-based investments such as San Antonio real estate. So things were looking up, especially after George W. was elected. The Bush for governor campaign was easy. The Amigos de Bush, W.'s Latino support group, rallied heavily for their man. Bush's people were elated that he had garnered 29% of the Latino vote, approaching the record 38% Roy Barrera had earned in his bid for state attorney general. Back in that 1986 race, both Bushes had stumped for Barrera, holding Voy con Roy barbecue fundraisers and rallies. In 94, Roy was more than happy to return the favor and celebrate George W.'s victory, and especially his coup with the Hispanic vote. After all, Roy and the Amigos helped him win it. Ernesto Ansira, another Amigo de Bush, was feeling good, too. He was rewarded with two Bush appointments, first to the Texas State Workers' Comp Board, and then to a coveted advisory board position at the University of Texas School of Business. George W.'s influential friend James Leininger gave Ernie a board position in his new conservative think tank, the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Almost immediately, Governor Bush had to tackle a problem presented by Ernesto's young cousins from Mexico. The Ansiras, by the way, in-laws of President Salinas, the Ansiras had teamed up with an old school chum, pharmaceutical heir Xavier Autry, during President Salinas's privatization free-for-all of the late 1980s. The A-Kids maneuvered $6 million of other people's money into billions, buying up mining and energy companies, as well as Mexico's largest steel company, Altos Hornos de Mexico, or AHMSA. Soon their companies were accused of being fronts for the drug trade and were described as such by analyst R.C. Whalen at a 1993 U.S. congressional hearing. Together with a secretive binational strip mining operation called Dos Repúblicas, the Ansiras tried to get a Tex-Mex energy deal going by revamping a decrepit coal-burning power plant on the border named Carbon 2. They convinced the World Bank, Citibank, and Southern California Edison to invest over $250 million in the project. It was a disaster. P.S. Note that Southern California Edison was one of the duped investors. Continuing. The Ansira's reputation sank as fast as a rust-eaten bucket, and partners and investors began to look for ways out. The Ansira family was accused by shareholders of wasting extraordinary amounts of money on corporate jets, limousines, and other luxuries, not to mention their extensive purchases of San Antonio real estate. Just last year, while the company amassed nearly $2 billion in debt and had to suspend payments, the Ansiras began quietly moving property titles to Cayman Island holding companies with the help of their frontman, Marcelo Sanchez. Carbon 2 should have been the kind of project Governor Bush would have embraced, a model energy venture between Mexico and the U.S. But as environmentalists' complaints about air pollution grew louder, Bush's comments drew guarded. By the time of the project's final demise in 1995, due to mismanagement as well as the fact that its approval by Salinas had been blatantly illegal, Bush was given credit for heeding environmental concerns. By the time his 1998 re-election rolled around, Bush was already said to be working on his run for the White House, and in Texas, he once again relied on the Latino vote. He was also working to strengthen energy ties with Mexico. That fall, he held a press conference with Mexico's Secretary of Energy, Luis Tellez. Together, they promised a new era in which Texas and Mexico would essentially erase the border and create a common market, unquote, for gas and electricity production and consumption, as well as an integrated electrical network. Note that in connection with the policies of the Bush presidential administration as enunciated earlier in the broadcast. Continuing. 1 month later, with help from the amigos to Bush, George W. surpassed Roy Barrera's record and pulled in a hefty 39-49% of the Latino vote. He won in a landslide. He was already counting on the Republican presidential nomination. It's been a wild ride since the 1989 White House dinner. Bush Sr. lost the presidency, and he and his wife Barbara are now campaigning for their son. Carlos Salinas is self-exiled in Ireland and Cuba. His brother Raúl is in prison. This year, Roy Barrera Jr. is on the campaign trail with W. He has rumbled, say the papers, about running for governor. But the shadow of past relationships continues to haunt him. Last year, Barrera landed in the hot seat. He represented millionaire Alan Blackthorne after the contract-style murder of Blackthorne's ex-wife Sheila Belush, B-E-L-L-U-S-H. The case made national headlines because Belush was stabbed to death in front of her toddler quadruplets, and they crawled around in her blood until they were found. The hitman, José del Toro, fled to Mexico and was represented by none other than Barrera's old Gulf cartel client, the prestigious office of Enrique Fuentes León. Barrera was dropped as Blackthorne's lawyer, and the U.S. Justice Department began investigating who paid del Toro's presumably high-priced legal bills. Del Toro said in a taped interview that he was told by his U.S. lawyer that Barrera had hired Fuentes León. Roy's father admits that the Barreras and the Fuentes León family have remained close through the years. The Justice Department's findings have not been revealed. Roy Barrera, however, is rumored in the press to be hoping for a ride with W to Washington, his eye on a cabinet position. Bush aides say it's premature to talk about it, but Texas is all abuzz with murmurs. Ernesto Ancira's car dealership is expected to top $600 million in sales this year. Ancira was one of the first to donate to Bush's Presidential Exploratory Committee, but lately has remained behind the scenes. Surprisingly, the Republican National Committee and Bush campaign people in charge of Hispanic outreach say they've never heard of Ancira. "He must be very grassroots," a spokesperson told me. Well, not exactly. Ernie can't stop getting involved with guys who get in trouble. He's now one of the heavy hitters, paying $1,000 each to host a September fundraiser for State Senator Frank Madla, M-A-D-L-A, who is under investigation by a federal grand jury. Apparently, Madla accepted inappropriate favors from Eddie the Bingo King Garcia, murdered in 1998 in what prosecutors called a contract hit. The Ancira name surfaced again in August when former Mexico City Mayor Oscar Espinoza became a fugitive under an arrest warrant for embezzling $45 million of the people's money. Mexican newspapers reported he was last seen under the protection of armed guards provided by the Ancira's in their company town in Coahuila. Gus Garcia's patron Anwar Name has been named by Mexican law enforcement as the business partner of an ex-governor running from charges of taking Juarez cartel payoffs. Right after Mexico's July elections, some members of the winning PAN party have clamored for the country to reopen investigations into the assassination of Ruiz Maceo and Muñoz Rojas' activities in San Antonio. Private investigator J. Alberto Villasana told the PAN president in a July 15th letter, quote, "I believe that since Fox and the PAN have won, we should be aware of a very delicate matter. We will soon be facing binational criminal groups to which the previous administrations have been accomplices." Unquote. In Mexico today, there is a changing of the guard. But President-elect Vicente Fox has made it clear that the trend toward massive privatization of industries will continue at full speed. Even Robert Mosbacher has hinted he'd like the national oil company Pemex to hurry up and privatize, and he might like a job there too. If he is elected, Bush has promised there will be a special relationship with Mexico. In his family, the special relationship has long been there. So goes the logic. If Ernie has a few unpleasant friends and partners, what of it? Ditto for Bush's self-proclaimed representative, Roy Barrera. As long as he hasn't touched the dirty goods himself, Bush has been able to benefit from these men's vote-winning and trade-promoting influence. Does this make Bush guilty by association? If he didn't know about their cartel connections, probably not. I called his campaign office and asked if the governor knew about these relationships and did not receive a response by press time. But the question has to be asked, if some of us far outside of the Bush camp know about these connections, how come Bush didn't? George W. Bush has made his lust for the Latino vote clear. If you say $1 million, I want you to spend $2 million. If you say you need $4 million, I want you to spend $8 million, W. told Lionel Sosa, head of the Bush Latino media campaigns. What is not clear is who Bush will be willing to consort with to earn that vote. And, if he wins the presidency, what is the true nature of the special relationship he will forge between our two nations, the U.S. and Mexico, in the coming years? And again, that article from which this broadcast takes its name is called Los Amigos de Bush, The Shady Ties of George W. Bush's Latino Friends, from the fall 2000 issue of El Andar magazine, volume 11, number 3, the last in their NAFTA gang series. And you can visit their website at www.elandar.com, ELANDAR.com. And, of course, this past Friday, March 9th, Energy Secretary Spencer Abraham was in Mexico following George Bush going down there, saying that an energy relationship between the two countries was a high priority. And bear in mind that Mr. Ancira, one of the major amigos to Bush, and his family are front and center in the Mexican energy business, and they also have all kinds of other connections to NAFTA, the Bush people, drug cartels, the milieu itself connected to two particularly heinous murders, the rape, torture, and murder of a six-year-old girl in Mexico, and the murder of Sheila Belush in front of her toddler quadruplets, who then crawled around in her blood until they were found. This, before we wrap up for the record 281, the various tapes that I've done over the years, including many tapes about the Bush crime family, are available from a tape duplication service called Spitfire. That's S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E, P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, zip code 95005. The email address is mail, M-A-I-L, at spitfirelist.com. There's a detailed and annotated description of For the Record 281 on the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. The For the Record programs are now being archived on Real Audio by sister station WFMU-FM in Jersey City, New Jersey. You can visit those Real Audio archives at their website at wfmu.org/Dave Emory, DaveEmory. That concludes For the Record program number 281, Los Amigos de Bush. This is being recorded on March 11th, 1981. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.